You're listening to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Must have been almost 20 years ago now. I was waiting behind a rope line to report on an event in New York, and I heard a reporter in the media scrum who didn't cover the UN much. I heard him sheepishly ask his colleagues, "How will I know if it's Madeleine Albright coming up to the microphones?" She was the ambassador to the United Nations before becoming Secretary of State. And amid those smirking veteran reporters scribbling nothing into their notepads, someone said out loud, "Can't miss her. She'll be the one with a big pin on her jacket." Chuckles all around. That was the first time I'd noticed. Wow, Albright really loves big jewelry, or she's got a big sense of humor, or maybe both. Madam Secretary, welcome back to Texas. We love big pins, too.
Well, I'm glad to be in Texas, and today I've got on my Texas pin, which has stars and cowboy boots and Stetsons.
That's beautiful. How did these pins become your thing?
You were talking about the UN. What happened was, when I got there in February 93, was the end of the Gulf War, and the ceasefire had been translated into a series of sanctions resolutions. And I was an instructed ambassador, and my instructions were to make sure that the sanctions stayed on. So every day, I said perfectly terrible things about Saddam Hussein, which he deserved. He'd invaded Kuwait. So All of a sudden, a poem appeared in the papers in Baghdad, comparing me to many things, but among them an unparalleled serpent. And I happened to have a snake pin, so I wore it whenever we talked about Iraq. And then I thought, well, this is fun. So I went out and I bought a bunch of costume jewelry to reflect whatever I thought we were going to do on any given day. And so, especially when I'm here in Texas, I can say, first President Bush had said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." So I said, "Read my pins." And that's how the whole thing started.
Read my pins. The Madeleine Albright collection is opening over at the LBJ Presidential Library in the Texas capital city. With all those pins, you sending secret diplomatic messages, or what exactly?
It got that way, frankly. When I was Secretary of State, the Russians were bugging the State Department. And we found the guy ultimately sitting outside listening. And the next time I met with the Russian foreign minister, I wore this huge bug, and he totally got what was going on. So they were usually not so discreet messages. They were pretty obvious.
Well, now, if you were Secretary of State right now, what sort of pin might you wear to meet with, Kim Jong-il, should he be so inclined to get together?
Well, I think what I would do is do the same thing when I was there, and I wore the biggest American flag you've ever seen, and I thought, what is it like for the leader to be standing next to an American with a very large flag being very proud? And by the way, I actually think it's important. Diplomacy is not a gift. It's a way that you talk to people that you disagree with more than even those that you agree with, because you can't make things just happen with tweets and insults when it's unclear what the strategy is. And so I'm hoping that there's more going on. But I have to tell you what really depresses me as somebody that was Secretary of State and understands the importance of the State Department is that President Trump and Secretary Tillerson seem to be willing to undermine the State Department in terms of not really having budgets that are commensurate with what the needs are. There is not an assistant secretary that has been newly nominated to do it, or ambassadors in place. And so I don't know what the relationship is between the president and the secretary of state, but I am deeply, deeply depressed and troubled by the fact that they seem to agree that undermining the State Department is a good thing for America. It is a very dangerous thing for America not to have a functioning State Department.
I'm sure you've been keeping up with the story regarding the soldiers killed in Niger. The Defense Department playing these numbers and deployments very close to the vest, saying that they're part of the ongoing war on terror. And as you're aware, Madam Secretary, the authorization for these broad deployments appears to come from the 2001 Military Force Authorization document. Should Congress reconsider that?
I think one of the discussions that's gone on ever since the Vietnam War is how does the legislative branch and the executive branch operate in terms of war fighting? And the Constitution is an invitation to struggle, frankly, on that, is that it is the president is the commander-in-chief, but the Congress has a very large role in terms of declarations of war and paying for them. And part of the problem is that there are some people on the Hill who understand that the president needs a fairly wide berth on this to be able to do things, and others who want to have it a more limited AUMF, and that's the discussion. But this is a very big discussion that goes back to the Gulf of Tonkin resolution in terms of the War Powers Act, but there does need to be a better understanding of the deployment of our forces, what the authorization for it is, and how many Americans are all over the world doing a variety of activities.
It's a real delight to get a chance to talk with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Before I say bye-bye, how's life as Citizen Albright? Are you enjoying being out of the thrust and parry, if you will?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I loved what I did. There was no greater honor than being Secretary of State. But I'm a professor at Georgetown University, and I have a global consulting firm, and I'm chairman of the board of a great organization called the National Democratic Institute, and I keep pretty busy, and I...
sounds like it.
It took me a while to develop my voice, and I certainly am not being quiet.
Well, I must say, and if there are ever any doubts, just check out her pen. You can read her pens, literally.
That's
the Madeleine
true.
Albright Collection. It opens at the LBJ Presidential Library in the Texas Capital City. Madeleine Albright, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us.
Thank you.